This is a Dragon Blazer production, and I am the little boogeyman. All right.
Coming down the aisle, it's the podcast tag team champions of the world,
the Rage and Blaze Show.
Welcome to another exciting episode of the Rage and Blaze Show. I'm Rage.
And I'm Blaze.
And today we are going to finish our WrestleMania 5 podcast. This is part two of that show. So far, I thought it was kind of a lackluster WrestleMania. I've kind of had my opinions. I think the matches are just kind of dull so far. And the celebrity appearances are few and far between. Oh, they had Rock and Robin doing the national anthem, or America the Beautiful, I apologize, doing America the Beautiful, and she didn't do a good job. Jesse the Body Ventura let her know she isn't doing a good job. So
she was just a slight upgrade from Mean Gene Okerlund.
I don't know if she was.
I said slight.
I really don't know if she was. The only thing that's really saved this show so far has been the fact that we've got Roddy Piper back in the WWF after 2 years of being absent. So that's definitely exciting. Can't wait to do more shows in this time period to see Piper again.
Yeah, Piper is one of my favorites. If I wasn't sure of that before we started this podcast, I've loved him almost every time we've seen him on this WrestleMania Rewatch podcast or pay-per-view rewatch podcast. I've loved him every single time. And the more I see him, the more I realize Piper might be one of the best, one of my favorites.
Yeah, it's a shame. I don't think he never held the WWF championship. And that's a shame. That is probably one of the biggest injustices in this world. Not just wrestling. The world.
No, I mean, no, I can't go that bad. I was going to make a joke there, but that might be a little too insensitive. Apparently, I'm insensitive.
You have heard that from YouTube commenters.
Yeah. Apparently, I'm not supposed to do a comedy podcast about true crime.
Well, it depends on what the crime is.
Yeah, the murder of a human being.
Maybe a little insensitive. They might have a point there. But this show is not about your insensitivity towards murder. This show is about the WWF and pro wrestling. And today, it's all about WrestleMania!
That is true. That is what this show is about.
Okay, so why don't
and
we
Royal Rumble and Survivor Series and SummerSlam.
And eventually, I think we're going to do some King of the Ring. And
a little bit of there. A little bit of this, a little bit of that.
This is our show. We'll do what we want.
That's right. This is not a democracy, people. So we are dictators.
So if we find something wrestling-related worth doing a podcast on, we will do it. And if you got a problem with that, you can like and subscribe one of our Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and we will plug those later on in the show. And you can comment to us about it.
Bitch at us about things like the YouTube commenters.
So if you got a problem, you can hit us up on any of those platforms.
Yo, I'll solve it.
Check out my beat while my DJ revolves it.
Ice, baby.
Okay, so let's get back to the thing that we're doing here, and that is WrestleMania 5. And the first thing we get when we restarted this show after is we get a movie trailer. This is the very first in WrestleMania history to receive a movie trailer during WrestleMania. And it is, of course, starring Hulk Hogan, No Holds Barred.
A movie we very well might cover on my other podcast.
You might have to. You might have to check that out.
Oh, we have,
is it on any streaming platform?
I'm not sure. I think the one we were looking at possibly doing is, I think it's, is it Mr. Mom or Mr. Nanny?
Mr. Nanny, I think.
Is it Mr.?
I think Mr. Mom is
Michael Keaton.
Michael Keaton, yeah.
One of those is on HBO Max. That movie's on HBO Max. So we've talked about doing that one or Ready to Rumble.
Ready to Rumble.
We want to do some wrestling movies and review them.
You can't get more cross promotion for a movie than David Arquette and the WCW World Heavyweight Championship just to promote a movie.
He actually wrestles still to this day.
I know he kind of amateur wrestles, but to have a guy from Hollywood just walk into your company with the world title, it just makes you know why that company went out of business.
I mean, he didn't win the world title, but I mean, there's other people that have done this and wrestled women. That's right. We're talking about Andy Kaufman.
No,
Hollywood.
Who's ever been Hollywood and won a chip? Well, Gronk just did it, but it was a 24/7 championship.
Yeah, that don't count.
And that's just, it wasn't their prestigious heavyweight championship, I'd also like to point out that during the trailer, and I will confess.
Well, in fairness, WCW went under pretty soon after David Arquette won the title.
When was Ready to Rumble? 2000, maybe?
Yeah, I think so.
So, they went out of business within a year after that. So honestly, David Arquette killed WCW.
Yeah, it's a plague. like a plague.
It's the truth. I also like to point out, and I will admit, I have never, I don't know if I can say never. I don't remember No Holds Barred.
I don't know if I've ever seen it, to be honest.
I don't know if I have either.
I may have, when I was really, really young.
If I watched it,
I probably watched it with Boomer.
Yeah, if anybody showed it to us, it was probably Boomer.
I believe we watched a couple of the
I know we've seen some Hulk Hogan movies, for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
I've seen that Mr. Nanny you referred to and everything. I have to look up all his movies, but No Holds Barred is one that I don't recall if I've seen it or not. The point that I'm trying to make is during the trailer, I noticed a six-sided ring, or what appeared to be a six-sided ring. And this was 10, 15 years. Yeah, I'd say about 15 years before TNA wrestling. So this was before they decided to use a six-sided ring as the norm for a long time in TNA wrestling. So I found that very interesting to see that six-sided ring in that No Holds Barred movie trailer.
So, yeah, I mean, I'm pretty sure I've seen the trailer too, but I don't remember that.
You just watched the trailer.
I mean, before. I don't remember that. Being in the trailer, I don't remember.
Oh, yeah. No, I don't recall it either. And that's part of the reason, like I said, I don't remember the movie if I've seen it. And that's part of why I'm bringing it up. So, very interesting tidbit there. Seeing the six-sided ring was not a TNA original idea. Matter of fact, I was looking online. It turns out a promotion called AAA used to use a six-sided ring way before TNA as well.
Oh, wow.
So anyhow, so moving on, we got the movie trailer, and then the next thing I believe we received is an interview from Sean Mooney. He interviews Donald Trump asking how the show is doing.
It was huge.
Definitely bigger than anything.
I think this ring would be better with some walls. Just want to put some walls around this ring.
Nothing will ever be as huge as this WrestleMania.
It's
this
bigly.
WrestleMania is the greatest of all time. It's huge. Okay, so then we get a rant from Jesse the Body Ventura, basically telling Hogan to stay out of Hollywood. That's my domain. Kind of weird.
Just curious, what movies is Jesse the Body Ventura in?
I honestly. Tell you,
had no idea he'd done any movies until he started bitching at Hogan
for
doing movies.
All I know is since we are future people and we know what's going to happen in the future, I bet you, you better believe Hogan better not step foot in politics. Because that is now.
That is Jesse now the Jesse the Body Ventura's domain.
So, let's move on with the show then. Okay, so you looked it up, and what was the movies that you saw Jesse the Body Ventura has been in?
One I should have realized, and I did know, he was in Predator, man. He's one of the mercenaries in Predator. He was also in The Naked Gun as an announcer, a baseball announcer, and then he was also in The Running Man.
Okay.
Which I've never actually seen, but...
So he was in some legit movies. This wasn't like...
But he wasn't like a star like...
No.
Which like, I don't know if we call Hulk Hogan a...
He wasn't a star Hollywood like star.
Well, no, but he had... He starred in movies, but he starred in bad movies.
Predator's not a bad movie.
No, Hogan.
Oh.
Jesse was in good movies. And hell, Hulk was in, what was Rocky 3? So he's been in good movies too, but the movies he starred in are essentially what you find in the bargain bin at Walmart for $5.
Wow. Okay.
Am I wrong? Where's the lie?
Well, I have fond memories of seeing Hogan on the movies, so I don't want
to... That you paid $5 at Walmart in the bargain bin.
No, I think we went to the local video store.
Uh-huh.
We rented them.
Sure.
Can't
sure.
Do that anymore.
Yeah, the
gotta go to the old Red Box
Blockbuster. Yeah. Oh, there's still a Family Video.
Where?
Galleon.
Galleon still has one?
I believe it's still open.
Because I think all the ones in Mansfield are gone.
Yeah.
Anyhow, so continuing on with the coverage of WrestleMania 5, the next thing we do see is a video package showing us the pretty much the birth and the death of the Mega Powers.
We get to see some stuff that we didn't actually get to see. You know.
Most of it was from the shows we watched, but then they started showing footage that we have not seen, which I would have loved to gone back and watch that footage had I thought about it. But
luckily, we got to see the promos here.
Yeah, so a lot of stuff went down where. Looks like Macho Man got thrown out of the ring into Elizabeth, so Hogan took her back to get medical treatment, and that kind of officially set the bar that Macho Man officially turned on Hogan.
Yeah.
So it finally happened. The Mega Powers have exploded, and they will explode all over Trump's closet. So,
it's about to be messy.
About to get messy up in here. So then we get a very, very, very well done promo by the Hawkster. And this is about as great as I've ever seen Hawkster on the mic. This was genuinely just awesome in my opinion. It was a great promo. There was more emotion behind it. And, the way he talks and everything, as opposed to just talking about all his Hulkamaniacs. He's actually talking about his opponent. And it just felt, to me, it felt like a better promo than we've seen him do so far in this podcast ever.
Yeah, I like the whole, the maniacs have gone farther and the madness just never got there.
Right. Yeah, he's talking about the maniacs. Yeah. So, I mean, it was just a very, very good promo. He even brought Donald Trump into the promo, not physically, but just he talked about Donald Trump, mainly because they were talking about the Trump Plaza and everything, saying that Trump was worried about the foundation of the building because the earth is going to swallow these fans up beneath their feet. It's gonna be such an explosion of the maniacs versus the madness, you know. So it was just a very classic, very great promo that I felt was...
It's okay, Hogan. It's okay. I've got insurance.
I'm sure he does. All right. So the next match we have kind of blossomed from Royal Rumble. Well, I believe they were kind of feuding before. It just seemed that way, even during the interviews at Royal Rumble. But this next match is Jake the Snake Roberts versus Andre the Giant with Bobby the Brain Heenan in his corner, and special guest referee Big John Studd. I thought this was a really fun match. And I know you've kind of been critical about Andre matches, but this was a good Andre match, in my opinion. This was really good.
There wasn't any major spots to hate on it. So for Andre matches, it was, you know, better. Andre, for the most part, didn't do any actual moves where he had to lift someone or anything. He stuck with choke holds and, like, pushing Jake the Snake Roberts up against the corner and, you know, simple things, chops, punches.
But the biggest story of this match is kind of what happened towards the end. Little extracurriculars going on. So Big John Studd and Andre kind of get into it. And he's on the outside. He tries to get bring Damian into the ring. And the Million Dollar Man runs out and snatches Damian from Jake the Snake Roberts and tries to run down the aisle with Damian. Of course, Jake follows him. And we get something very interesting. First time we've ever seen this in WrestleMania, we get a split screen of both the action going on inside with Andre kind of getting into it with Big John Studd and Jake the Snake dealing with the Million Dollar Man. It's kind of interesting.
Now, you gave kind of a weird look when he's like, well, Million Dollar Man, but, you know, Million Dollar Man and Andre have been working together for quite some time.
Yeah, but I thought that relationship kind of was over. I didn't know that was still going on.
Well, you know,
we haven't seen them together in several pay-per-views.
Well, Rage, the Million Dollar Man takes care of his employees. And, you know, he paid Andre the Giant, so he's one of his employees. So, you know, he's a very good manager and good friend, boss. So he's just helping Andre out.
Is that right? Well, anyhow, regardless, due to all this turmoil, Big John Studd ends up disqualifying Andre the Giant. So the winner by disqualification.
Well, I mean, when you literally attack the referee, that's normally a disqualification. I mean,
yeah, it's not
going to
go well for
him. He literally started choking out Big John Studd. I mean, and he's a special guest referee, so, you know, that's kind of fair.
So this match ends in DQ. So Andre gets to kind of still go around saying he's somewhat undefeated. Like I said, he lost at WrestleMania 3. So,
yeah, it wasn't much of a match, but it had a fun story involved.
It was a fun match to watch. It's kind of a bright
spot. And if you notice, that's the best stuff with Andre. He's in some interesting storylines, but when it comes to actual wrestling, he's not great.
Okay, so we will see what we have next then. Okay, so we're backstage with Sensational Sherry with Tony Schiavone interviewing her, and she says what we all were thinking at the beginning of the show, that Rockin' Robin can't sing. She even goes a little further and says, just like she can't wrestle in the ring.
I mean, I want to dispute it, but yeah, is it lying, really? It's true.
A lot of villains, or a lot of heels, speak the truth.
Yeah.
People just don't like to hear it. So then, for some reason, she also takes a dig at Miss Elizabeth. I don't know why. But she also
because she's trying to say she's pretty, and, you know, Sensational Sherry's the woman.
Okay. So then we move on to the next match. We have, it is the team of Greg the Hammer Valentine and the Honky Tonk Man with Jimmy Hart in their corner versus the Hart Foundation, Bret the Hitman Hart and Jim the Anvil Neidhart. And we get to hear our first variation of Bret the Hitman Hart's theme music. It's, it's definitely his theme music, but it feels,
it's just not polished yet.
Yeah, it sounds a little different. So they obviously polish it for the future, but this is definitely his theme music that they are coming out to. So this is the first time we've got to hear that theme music. So that was nice. Nice to hear. And this was a, in my opinion, a very well-worked match. This was a very good tag team match.
Good technical wrestling.
Yeah, a lot of good spots. And it even had a little bit of an exciting ending with Jimmy Hart trying to give, I believe it was the Honky Tonk Man, his megaphone to use while the referee was distracted. And Bret the Hitman Hart actually gets a hold of it.
Well, Jimmy the Anvil Neidhart grabs it from...
Oh, that's right. Jimmy the Anvil Neidhart grabs it from Jimmy Hart before he could give it to Honky Tonk Man. Tosses it up over the ropes to Bret Hart. Bret Hart uses it. Gets the 1-2-3.
Yeah, this was a decent match. Probably one of the better ones on the show.
Yeah, from what we've had so far, this is definitely on the upper top list of the better matches on this show. I really enjoyed this match. It's showing me that maybe the show's going to get better and throughout the show. Our next match is an Intercontinental Championship match, I believe, with Rick Rude and the Ultimate Warrior. So kind of excited to see that one.
Yeah, so far, Warrior hasn't exactly impressed me, but I have been impressed by Ravishing Rick Rude. So I'm really hoping that this is the match where I get to be like, okay, my childhood is validated. I am so glad that I'm a huge Ultimate Warrior fan. Because so far...
He kind of fits the mold of the type of wrestlers you usually don't like.
Yeah, I'm kind of realizing that.
But little child Blaze thought, ooh, the face paint and the cool, you know, energetic running out in the ring and grabbing the ropes and shaking it. You were all into that.
Yeah, well, you know... Yes, I was. But, you know, as my taste grew and I grew up and I started realizing that I really liked the high flyers, the technical wrestlers. I like your Shawn Michaels and even Rey Mysterio is really fun to watch, you know. Stuff like that I really prefer. I like the small guys. I like the guys that fly around. I like athletic wrestlers.
Well, and I think this is a moment that I can point out to you that it's okay that your childhood self had a different image of wrestling, because wrestling has evolved so much since your childhood that it is okay that these guys are still in your memory. You're allowed. You don't have to hate on every Andre the Giant or Ultimate Warrior or Hulk Hogan that walks into the ring. You can appreciate it for the time frame in which they wrestle.
Well, the only problem with that, Rage, is I actually have integrity.
Integrity weed.
That's integrity weed.
Oh, integrity
farms. Integrity farms.
Okay, so let's go on. Integrity. It looks like we're about to get a video package kind of letting us know what's went down in this feud. And... I'm looking forward to it. Like you mentioned, though, every time we've seen Ravishing Rick Rude, he has been entertaining.
A delight. And
one of the best.
I love his tights. Every time he comes down the ring, he's got someone on his dick. So, you know, it's kind of weird that I might be kind of flip-flopping here, where Ravishing Rick Rude might be one of my favorite old-school wrestlers, and... Ultimate Warrior, yeah.
Okay, well, let's see if it meets expectations or if we're about to ruin Blaze's childhood again.
It happens often.
Okay, so it's time for the Intercontinental Championship match between Ravishing Rick Rude and Bobby the Brain Heenan in his corner and the Ultimate Warrior. Now, I have to tell you, we went into this match thinking, you know, maybe Ravishing Rick Rude could save it. Ultimate Warrior hasn't really showcased that great of wrestling ability so far during our podcast. But I think this match was fantastic.
Yeah, this was a really good match. And I think, in a way, Ravishing Rick Rude does kind of save it, because Ravishing Rick Rude just sells everything Ultimate Warrior does. And Ultimate Warrior just shows this immense power, and Ravishing Rick Rude made everything he did look painful.
Yeah, and I'd like to point out the tights. We've got to talk about the tights. Every time Ravishing Rick Rude comes out, we have to comment on what tights he's wearing. So
our new segment, Rude Tights.
So, in the buttocks area, he has a picture of the Ultimate Warrior.
Okay. As one does.
He would. But in this match, in the front, he has a picture of the Intercontinental Championship.
I mean, are you surprised? You know, he puts on the person that his opponent loves. And, well, what does the Ultimate Warrior love? His title.
You know what he doesn't love? I think he don't like fire, because I think Ultimate Warrior is basically the wrestling version of a caveman.
Cavemen liked fire when they figured it out. Fire. When they figured it out,
they were scared of it at first.
Well, at first, but then they were like, "Ooh, ooga, ooga, oh, fire."
So anyhow, this match
Frankenstein doesn't like fire.
Yeah, oh, that's right. So this match turned out to be terrific. Even had a pretty good ending where Ultimate Warrior tried to suplex Rick Rude, but Bobby the Brain Heenan grabs his legs and forces his legs down while Rick Rude reverses the suplex into like a pin and ends up winning the match and stealing the title from the Ultimate Warrior.
Yeah, there was a couple times Warrior at the beginning, he just kept on throwing Rick Rude into the corner, and he just sold it, and his back just looked like he even like later on continued to sell that back pain, because he tried to do his little gyration move, and then he stopped because his back was hurting. And then and another thing we want to mention is normally we don't like bear hugs too much, and I still think they probably did the bear hugging a little too long in this. That's probably the only blemish I would give to this match. But even when they did, Ultimate Warrior does a bear hug on Ravishing Rick Rude, and Rick Rude sells the hell out of that too. He's just flailing around like, "Oh shit, I'm stuck." So, I mean, even a bear hug by Warrior looked amazing because of Rick Rude selling. So, I mean, this match may have kind of saved a little bit of my childhood. I got a slight glint in my eye now.
Yeah, this was definitely a better match than we expected. I mean, he's wrestling a really great wrestler in Ravishing Rick Rude, so that definitely helps. But I just thought this was fantastic. I thought this was probably, I don't want to spoil our rankings at the end of the show, but at the moment, this is the top match of the night for me. So we'll see if anything else gets better. I know we had a really good, I think it was a 6-man tag match earlier in the show that was really terrific, but for now.
Well, we also had that really good Rockers versus Twin Towers match I liked.
That was a really good match.
We definitely have we've got some contenders.
Couple matches to choose from, and then we have just a whole bunch of matches. We got to figure out what the worst of the night was.
Yeah, we do got quite a few worst of the nights contenders, but I'm kind of with you. This is probably I'm not sure if it's my best match of the night so far, but it was good. I mean, I liked it a lot, actually. I really, really enjoyed this match. It kind of saved the Warrior, and I mean, I can't even fully say that it was just Ravishing Rick Rude that saved it, because the Warrior just It works so well, because the Warrior is all power, just all power. And he showed that power in this match. Rick Rude sold that power as it should be sold. So he helped enhance what Warrior did. But I mean, the Warrior did some power bombs that looked really good, or not power bombs. I don't think we've seen a power bomb since we started this podcast, but, body slams. We got some really good body slams from Warrior, and suplexes that were pretty good. Like, everything looked good. I really enjoyed Warrior bouncing off of three different ropes to try to do his big splash. That
yeah, and it looked like it could be the end of the match. I thought this match was going to be fairly quick.
Yeah,
and then Rude got his knees up and countered the move and really extended this match and made it in a very surprising finish. We didn't expect the match to end when it ended, and it was a very shocking ending, and it was good. It was very enjoyable.
Yeah, no, I have nothing but good to say about this match. I mean, like I said, the only complaint I would go with is there was the bear hugs. There was two different bear hugs, and they went on a little long. But because of Rick Rude's selling of those bear hugs, I don't hate it.
Well, and then you had the whole poking of the eyes.
Yeah.
He poked Ultimate Warrior in the eyes, and then he tried to do it again, and the referee actually grabbed his arm and stopped him from doing it. That was very interesting to see.
Yeah.
I don't know if we've seen a referee get that involved other than the whole twin situation in the one show where they kind of stole the title from Hogan. Other than that, I don't know if we've really seen a referee involvement like that in a match where he was willing to get his hands dirty and prevent an eye poke. That was very, very interesting.
Yeah, and it had the interest. Now, I feel like you were thinking negative thoughts with what Bobby the Brain Heenan did to the Ultimate Warrior. And I'm here to just tell you that Bobby the Brain Heenan just saw that the Ultimate Warrior's boot was untied. So he was just grabbing his boot to try to help
tie
it up.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's go ahead and move on. So the next match we have is Hacksaw Jim Duggan versus Bad News Brown. And this really was more of a fight than a wrestling match. Wasn't bad. It just was just more of a fight, right?
Yeah, I'm starting to realize that, number one, I'm not big on Bad News Brown and his ghetto blaster, which he tried in this match. And that was probably the coolest moment in this match, is he tries the ghetto blaster and Hacksaw just ducks, and he completely whiffs. And then Hacksaw follows it up with his three-point clothesline thing. But yeah, this was, I'm starting to think I'm not really big on Hacksaw either. He hasn't really done anything other than that. The stance thing he does is the only cool thing he really does. And other than that, I'm not big.
Yeah. So this match ends in a double disqualification, I believe.
This one actually makes sense with a double disqualification compared to the terrible decision with Hogan and Andre. This one, they like Hacksaw grabbed his 2x4 and
Bad News Brown grabbed the chair first.
Yes, but
they literally
attacked at the same time.
With
them. Yes, so they attacked at the same time, making it a proper double disqualification. Not I'm going to do something to get myself disqualified, and then after that, the other person's going to retaliate with something that gets them disqualified. Oh, we're going to double disqualify. I still am angry about that bullshit decision from WrestleMania 4. But this one was the proper way to do it. Still not a big fan of this match, but at least the ending fit the crime.
Yeah, like I said, there wasn't much of a match here. This was very short, and it was more of a street fight, I guess, would be the best way to describe it. It only was 3 minutes and 49 seconds.
Yeah, we're almost talking longer than this match. Not quite, but we're getting there.
Okay, so after the match is over, we get a Mean Gene Okerlund interview with the Red Rooster with full neck throbbing. And what do you call it when the roosters call in the morning? Ca-caw, you know, whatever.
Cock-a-doodle-doo.
I mean, he's doing the whole bit.
And he even has the little hair or, you know, thing in his hair.
Yeah, the thing in his hair. And this is a
wrestler that I don't remember very much about, but dear Lord, he comes out acting like a chicken.
A rooster rage? He's a rooster.
Aren't they the same?
No.
They're not the same. A chicken is not a rooster?
I mean, there's similarities.
Is the rooster a type of a chicken?
Well, I believe the rooster is the male version of a chicken.
Is that right? Okay, well, we are not...
I don't know farm shit.
Yeah, we are not the barnyard show here.
But I'm telling you, his damn name is Red Rooster, not Red Chicken.
The guy comes out flapping his arms and moving his neck, acting like he's a freaking chicken.
A rooster.
Don't say it.
I'm going to die on this hill. It's a damn rooster.
Okay.
Which is just as ridiculous.
Absolutely ridiculous. It's amazing. Some of the gimmicks we have had throughout the WWF, it almost seems like there should be a show out there, some sort of podcast that can make fun of this guy.
I may know one of those.
Why don't you call your people and see if something like that exists? Let's move on. Okay, so the next match was a really quick 31-second match. Red Rooster versus Bobby the Brain Heenan with the Brooklyn Brawler coming out in Bobby the Brain and Heenan's side. This really wasn't much of a match at all. Bobby the Brain Heenan ran into the turnbuckle, and Red Rooster rolled him up and pinned him 1-2-3, and this match was over. I mean, this was not very long. Brooklyn Brawler put in a few licks on Red Rooster after the match was over, and Red Rooster kind of got his bearings about him, and that everybody left. This was just kind of a waste of time, to be honest.
Yeah, I don't really have much to say about this. I mean,
it was really quick.
It was two people I didn't really give a crap about.
Bobby the Brain Heenan.
Oh,
and you, not as a wrestler.
So I talk about how these two wrestlers I don't give a crap, and you have to mention the manager. That proves my point.
No, he was the wrestler. Did you not do your homework?
Wait, Brooklyn Brawler wasn't the wrestler?
No, Brooklyn Brawler was on the outside. This was Bobby the Brain Heenan versus the Red Rooster. Dear Lord, you're making us look bad. That is how much...
That's how quick and ridiculous this match was.
He saw Brooklyn Brawler comes out with the Brain, Bobby the Brain Heenan, and he thinks the match is Brooklyn Brawler versus the Red Rooster, and it wasn't. Brooklyn Brawler was on the outside.
That's terrible. I didn't even...
This is horrible. I am doing this show with rookies.
Okay, so I'm the producer, so I was getting my part of that done, and this match was practically over before I even looked up. And when I looked up, he's getting pinned, and I didn't realize he was taking the pin.
Well, I can tell you I saw the whole match, and it was 31 seconds long. We can rewatch it if you'd like, because it was that quick. We've actually talked about this match probably triple the time that we spent watching the match, to be honest.
Quadruple.
Quadruple.
We're at 2 minutes and 20 seconds right now.
Well, then I don't think there's any more to say about this match. Let's just move on and see what we got next. Okay, so before the next match, we get an interview with Miss Elizabeth, and she's just awkward. I mean, it is very not very wrestling.
No, she seems very shy.
Yeah, she doesn't seem like she's very comfortable talking. She doesn't seem like she knows really what she wanted to say. She paused a lot before talking. It's just awkward to watch. So then we finally get the entrance of the Macho Man, Randy Savage, the WWF World Heavyweight Champion. Then we get the same music hits. We get the entrance of Miss Elizabeth because she has decided she is in a neutral corner. She is not in the corner of either men. She is there to support both men. So then
despite being married to one of them.
Well, now we'll get to that. Keep in mind, they don't really talk about them being a married couple. They talk about her being his manager And being the fact that I'll fast forward a little bit, if anybody don't know, in the 91 SummerSlam, we get a wedding between Macho Man and Miss Elizabeth, even though they'd been married for around 8 years at the time of this wedding. So they have a kayfabe wedding for in-screen, but we're moving ahead of ourselves. So then we get the entrance, the real American music of Hulk Hogan. He comes down, and automatically this match is high energy, and I thought this was a very well-worked match considering some of the stuff we've seen Hogan do. This was a pretty good one. Having Macho Man there, I think, really helped. He's a great wrestler. And then they played on the whole Miss Elizabeth being in the neutral corner a lot during this match, where Macho Man would hide behind her or things would just happen, and she was constantly being involved to the point where the referee had to kick her out because she was becoming too much of a distraction for both men.
Yeah, it was an all right match. I didn't hate it. I didn't love it. I don't feel like a lot. I don't know. I don't have a lot to say about this match.
Well, it was quite a lengthy match. It was, let's see here, 17 minutes and 54 seconds. So by far the longest match of the show. So, I mean, you would think there'd be a lot to unwrap here for you to talk about. It wasn't a bad match. There wasn't a lot of the sleeper holds or bear hugs, stuff that fills a match.
This was a consistent match,
I thought.
Well, Macho Man had Hogan in quite a few different submission moves. Like, it was kind of a slow match.
I think we're going to agree to disagree here, because I thought it was a fairly well rounded match. And, I mean, you even got to see Macho Man do his flying elbow off the top ropes, even though it didn't work and he didn't win the match with the flying elbow. Matter of fact, they said during the announcements, I believe they had said that this is the first time anybody has even kicked out of the flying elbow at this point in Macho Man's career. And then, of course, as soon as he kicks out, Hulk Hogan does his typical big boot and leg drop and wins the match. And then we get about an hour and 25 minutes of pandering to the crowd before the show's officially off the camera.
As is normal with Hulk Hogan.
A little exaggeration there, but it felt that long.
I swear, this podcast is making me appreciate certain aspects of Hulk Hogan, but really reinforcing my dislike for Hulk Hogan at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, he was definitely a crowd pleaser. You can definitely see why they put him on top all the time, because he definitely brings in the crowd. But it just feels like there's better guys out there during the times in which Hulk Hogan really controlled the business. I mean, you had guys like Rick Rude. You had the Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase. I mean, you had several guys that could have been that top-level Rowdy Piper. Could have been that top-level guy at any point in their career and carry the company. But Hogan really had a stranglehold around these years, and it was lucky that Macho Man got a year run with the WWF Championship. But unfortunately for Macho Man, the whole year run he had from WrestleMania 4 to WrestleMania 5 when he loses it to Hulk Hogan here is Hulk Hogan's right by his side in the same picture, tagging with him as the Mega Power. So Hulk never really leaves the WWF Championship picture.
Yeah, it's like Macho Man wins the title. It's like, hey Macho, you want to be Mega Powers? I mean, let's tag, okay? Let's tag.
It's almost like a drug ad.
I see you got that champion over there. Can you tag me?
That gold shining on me. Can I touch it? Can you just touch it? I was like, yo. Never mind. We don't want to be that type of show. So as this match concludes, I suppose that
that will finish off our WrestleMania 5 Part 2 coverage. And I think we have some rankings to do.
Favorite match of the night.
So I think my best match of the night's pretty easy. I really, really enjoyed the Intercontinental Championship match between Rick Rude and the Ultimate Warrior. And I think this is the best match we have seen the Ultimate Warrior wrestle. And Rick Rude is just always a bright spot in every wrestling show we have watched.
The only one that I can think of that would contend with this match is the Rockers versus the Twin Towers. I thought that was a really good match, really fun match, really good at playing with the Giants versus the small guys, you know. It had that. So, but I can't pick that because you're right. That Ultimate Warrior match saved my childhood. Maybe not completely. I'm still not sure if I'm fully sold on my childhood love, but it helped. It definitely helped. Ultimate Warrior was really good in the match. Ravishing Rude was Rick Rude, like you said. Fantastic, as always. It was definitely the best match of the night.
Yeah.
Worst match of the night.
Okay, so the worst match of the night for me is a shoo-in. It's a very easy, I think there's only one answer in this show, and that is the Red Rooster versus Bobby the Brain Heenan. It was 31 seconds that I can't get back in my life, that I would have liked to have done really anything else. I could have gotten a lot accomplished in 31 seconds, other than watching this match. And seeing this man bop his head like a chicken or a rooster, whatever, is one of the most weirdest and disturbing things I think I've ever seen in wrestling.
You're right. That was a terrible match. And I agree. I think that's probably the worst match of the night. It was just not a match. So, yeah, I'm going to agree with you. It's Bobby the Brain Heenan versus the Red Rooster.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, so that only leads us to one more thing, and that is we have 5 WrestleManias under our belt now. 5. That gives us a legit ranking system. We're about to tell you, spoiler alert, our top 5 WrestleManias.
That we've watched.
Yeah, that we watched.
WrestleMania rankings.
Okay, for my rankings, I am still putting WrestleMania 3 at the top of my list. That's not going to change. I think WrestleMania 2 still belongs right underneath at the top of that list. And this is where I'm kind of debating. Was WrestleMania 5 or WrestleMania 4 better? That's where I'm trying to struggle, and I think I'm just going to make a decision, and I'm going to say WrestleMania 4, I believe, had better matches. It was the tournament-based WrestleMania that Macho Man won the title at the very end. So I'm putting this down as my 4th-ranked WrestleMania. So WrestleMania 5, 4th-ranked, and then, of course, number 1 is just at the bottom barrel. It just wasn't quite living up to that WrestleMania legacy quite yet.
So I'm going to agree. WrestleMania 3, definitely the best one so far. WrestleMania 2, I would agree, would be my 2nd place. But this is where I think I'm going to differ. Just based on the Twin Towers versus the Rockers, and the match between Ultimate Warrior and Ravishing Rick Rude, I'm going to put this as my 3rd best WrestleMania, and 4 still at 4th place, and last, WrestleMania 1.
Okay.
So this is the first time that we've disagreed on the rankings.
Well, and one of us is right and one of us is wrong, and that's just how the world works.
I know, I'm right.
And you're wrong.
No, I'm not. Not and wrong. I'm right.
Fair enough. Okay, so we have a difference in opinion on where to place this WrestleMania. But one thing we do agree is so far, WrestleMania 3 is by far the best out of all these WrestleManias so far. Now, the next WrestleMania we're about to get will be the Ultimate Challenge. Ultimate Warrior versus Hulk Hogan, champion versus champion. I think it's got a chance. I don't remember the rest of the show, but I'm hoping it has a chance to dethrone WrestleMania 3 as my favorite WrestleMania. We shall see. The rest of the show might be a stinker, and I might have to put it down at the bottom of the list. Who knows? But I am super excited to watch the Ultimate Warrior face off against Hogan, definitely after seeing that Ravishing Rick Rude match. Yeah, it might surprise us.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not nearly as excited because while I did see a lot better with Ultimate Warrior in this, I'm still kind of so-so on Hogan when it comes to wrestling.
Yeah, so we don't know if we'll see what happens there. But I'm definitely excited because that's one of them that I remember being great. So we'll see what my childhood self remembers and what my modern wrestling opinion will say about this show. But I'm definitely – this is the WrestleMania that I have been looking forward to rewatching probably more than most. Maybe WrestleMania 12. The Iron Man match between Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels is still by far my favorite WrestleMania moment match in the history of wrestling. So I'd probably be looking forward to that one a little bit more, but I definitely have been looking forward to this one, Hogan versus the Ultimate Warrior.
All right. It's going to be tough because right now I feel like WrestleMania 3 is resting on its laurels for having the best match we've seen so far. And so far, no WrestleMania has even come close to topping that match. I mean, I really liked this Ultimate Warrior versus Ravishing Rick Rude match, but it wasn't Warrior versus Ricky the Dragon Steamboat, who, by the way, we did not see in this
Warrior versus Ricky the Dragon Steamboat. You mean Macho Man.
Oh, did I say
Ricky
Warrior?
The Dragon Steamboat. Which was a classic, and probably the best match we've watched in 5 WrestleManias so far.
Definitely. Definitely the best match we've watched.
Okay, so that is going to do it for us. Let's plug the pluggables. You can go to the Facebook page, The Rage and Blaze Show, the Instagram, at The Rage and Blaze Show, Twitter, at Ricky Rayberg.
Yeah, and you can find me on Dragon Blazer Productions, on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, and Dragon Blazer Pro on the Twitters.
Okay, so there's only one Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube now, but there's still two Twitters, huh?
Well, apparently you get confused with this multiverse, so, you know, I just...
Okay, I'm just making sure, because I noticed you didn't pluralize them this time, except for the Twitter. You couldn't help yourself on the Twitter.
You gave me a look, and I got mad, so I had to okay. Go back to my
thing. Fair enough. So this has been the Rage and Blaze Show. I am Rage.
And I'm Blaze.
Good night from Rage's Pit.
And here is your winners, and still podcast tag team champions of the world, The Rage and Blaze Show. Thank you for listening.